We're in the book of Matthew, chapter 7. You can turn there, Matthew 7. And would someone open us in prayer? Pray for me and pray for our time in God's Word today. Thank you.
Lord, I pray for this morning, this time. Pray that you would quiet our hearts, that you would take away the distractions, that you would help us to focus on you and to hear your words. And also pray for Mike, that you would speak through him. Pray that your Spirit would fill this room, that you'll be here with us this morning. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
So, on our honeymoon, Leanne and I went to Colorado for our honeymoon. And we went to, I think, is what is now my favorite town in Colorado. It's called Ouray.
Yes, we love Ouray.
Ouray is just a beautiful town. And it's this little town surrounded by mountains, pretty much all around it. And while we were there, we did a lot of hiking. And so we would take some trails from the town. You could actually, just from the town, you could find a trail and go up into the mountains. And so we did that. We did a bunch of hiking, took some trails up into the mountains, into the national forest. And it's beautiful. Sometimes the trails were steep. And, of course, you're at high elevation. So the air is thin, so you get tired fast. You're huffing, you know. Kind of like that. And you leave the busy streets of the town, and the world slows down. And it gets really quiet. And you see deer and wildflowers. And there are times where you come across overlooks as well. And what you don't see very much of is people when you go on those trails. But you get to these vistas where you can look back down on the town. And it's like this big contrast. You look down on the town, and there's a highway that runs right through the middle of the town. And it's really busy. There are cars going up and down the highway and people walking. They look like ants from up high, but you can see people walking up and down. And then you look back at the trail that you're on and no one's there. And it's so different. Okay, you got that picture. Jesus says that picture reflects the kingdom of God. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. But the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. So look at what Jesus says. Bless you. You have two gates, right? You have two ways or paths. You have two endpoints, two destinations in Jesus's parable. And you have two groups of people. And it's a contrast. One versus the other. What Jesus is giving you. This is a contrast between the way to destruction and the way to life. Or if you want to put it this way, the way to heaven and the way to hell. That's what this is when Jesus is talking. Now, in the Sermon on the Mount, which is what this is in the middle, we're still in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is preaching a long sermon. This is only one piece of it. And so in what we've been looking at in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has been talking about the kingdom of God. And he's been talking about life in the kingdom of God. What is it like? Now, he is talking about entering that kingdom. And he says, it's hard. And not many people do it. Now, last week, I told you that the teaching that we looked at was a teaching that's really popular. Last week, Jesus says, whatever you wish others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And I told you, everybody likes that. Atheists like it, Hindus like it, Muslims like it. Nobody dislikes that teaching. Everybody likes that teaching. Okay, this week's teaching is just the opposite. Most people don't like this teaching. Most people want to think that most everybody's going to make it to heaven. And you understand why. We, you know, there's a sense in which I'd like that too. And yet, that's not what Jesus is saying. What Jesus is combating is what we might call universalism, which is the idea that everybody is going to heaven. Jesus disagrees. In fact, he actually says most people don't make it. Guys, hear me. Most people don't make it. That's a sobering thought. When we think of the Holocaust, you know, and the 11 million people who died in the Holocaust, and we call that a tragedy, and it is. It's a great tragedy. But in eternity, that's nothing compared to the billions of people who are willingly walking to their own destruction. That is a tragedy on an immense scale. America is a living, breathing tragedy. And so is China, spiritually speaking, or Korea, or the Muslim world, or name your country, India, Africa, Latin America, Europe. Jesus here in these verses prevents us from ever thinking that universalism is true. He says most people are going to live a life that will lead to their own destruction. Now, he says something about that life in these verses. So the path that leads to destruction, look what he says about it. He says it's easy. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And so, in one sense, if you want destruction, if you want hell, that's what this is about, then just live life. That's all it takes. It doesn't take much. Work your job, watch some soccer, raise a family, immerse yourself in school or sports or technology or entertainment or whatever. Follow your culture, have fun, but don't ever think about Jesus or your sin. And don't ever repent. The way to hell is simply to follow everyone else. That's many are on that path, Jesus said. And it's easy. And don't you want to take the easy way? I mean, who really wants to take the hard way in anything? You know, in school, you want to do it the easy way, not the hard way. In work, the easy way, not the hard way. In everything in life, we want the easy way. And so there's a sense in which we kind of like the easy way. But that's how Jesus describes the path to hell. It's easy. That's verse 13. Now, he also says that same path, it's not only easy, but he says it's well-populated. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and many there are who find it. And those who enter by it are many. And so he's saying this is a well-populated highway. Kind of like the highway when we look down from above and it's all busy and people going back and forth. And Jesus says that's the path to destruction. What if you could, let's sort of take the same picture. What if you could go up on a mountain and look out over your own culture from wherever you are? I'll take America. I'm American, so I'll take American culture. What if I could go up and sort of look at America kind of from a distance and see the big landscape of the culture? I'm not talking geography here, but just things like what do people live for in America? What are our values in America? What do we think are important? What are we living for? What are we doing here in America? And I'd see there's people running around, chasing their, follow your heart, chase your dreams. That's America. That's about as American as it gets. And yet Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart, examine the mind. No, don't follow your heart. Follow the Lord. There's a difference. Put your heart in the Lord, yes. Because the vast majority of people in America are walking to their own destruction, and they don't even know it. They have no idea. They're just living life. They don't really think about it. All they're thinking about is their job tomorrow, or their whatever is going on in their life, their kids, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, you know, making dinner tonight. Nothing wrong with any of that stuff. But is that what life's about? What this means is, don't follow the crowd. Now, that also is an American saying. You will hear that in America. Don't follow the crowd. It's kind of ironic that America would say that, because American people follow the crowd. If you really want to not follow the crowd, follow Christ. And when you follow the Christ, what's going to happen is you're going to be really weird. You really are. You're going to be weird. And that's okay. I mean, you ever hear someone say, well, everybody else is doing it. I mean, think of what Jesus is saying. Most people are on a path to destruction, and you follow them and say everybody else is doing it. Isn't that foolish? I mean, who would walk a path to their own destruction simply because everybody else is doing it? Or we see, oh, he's got 100,000 likes on his social media post. Who cares? I mean, here's a guy who may be on the path to destruction with 100,000 likes for posting something that is taking him on that path to destruction very often. Which would you rather have, 100,000 likes on your media post or the kingdom of God? Which is more important? Guys, sometimes the attitude and the viewpoint that gives us 100,000 likes takes away the kingdom of God. Now, this is a hard saying, isn't it? What Jesus is saying. It's really hard. Jesus is not a... let's make no mistakes about Jesus. Jesus doesn't always talk nice. Sometimes he tells it like it is. And sometimes the way it is hard. And Jesus isn't afraid to say hard things. And he's doing that here. He's saying something very hard here. He is saying many go to their destruction. And few people find life. Guys, please don't follow the crowd. For the sake of your own soul, don't follow the crowd. There has to be a sense in which we, as Christians, need to not care what the world thinks. Now, obviously, we're to love the world. In one sense, we do need to care what the world thinks. For the sake of reaching the world, you got to know who you're with. But there's also a sense in which if we're going to live for Christ and the world is going to say, hey, stop that, we need to not care what they say. And go on and live for Christ. We walk different paths. The world chooses the busy highway down through the town, and we're walking a mountain path up the mountains. And there aren't a lot of people on that path. Now that path, he says, is hard. Look at verse 14. Remember, it's a contrast. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who enter by it are few, he says. So this is the steep trail into the mountains. This path involves persecution. It involves opposition. And just... the world will oppose you. If you're going to follow Christ, the world will, it will oppose you. It doesn't like, when we stand for Christ, the world's not going to like it. The path will often be a path of suffering. Jesus suffered. And sometimes he calls us to do the same. If we're going to follow Christ, we have to die to self. This path is a path of dying to ourselves. This path involves repentance, sometimes tears. It involves different priorities. We have new priorities as Christians than we had before we were Christians. This is a path of holiness. And I told you earlier, it makes you weird in the eyes of the world. If you say, well, I really like Jesus, great. So do half of the people who are down on that path to destruction. They like Jesus too. He's not interested in whether you like him or not. That's not the point. Jesus wants more. Give me more, he says. Commit your life. That's what he wants. And when you do, expect a hard path on earth. It isn't going to be easy. Walking with Christ is going to be the most difficult thing you will ever do in your life. There's nothing more challenging than walking with Christ. But you get life. It's a path to life. If you don't commit to Jesus, the path is actually pretty easy here on earth. But you're walking to your own destruction. Guys, Jesus is calling us. He's calling us to life. He actually, in these verses, verse 13 and 14, he actually gives one command. Look at the verses. What's the command?
Enter.
Enter. Enter through the narrow gate. That's the command. Why should we enter through the narrow gate? The rest of it explains why. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. In fact, that second verse 14, the beginning of it is, it doesn't translate to English real well. It's literally, it's something like, how narrow is the gate? It's emphatic. And we don't really speak that way in English within the contrast that he's got there. It doesn't flow real well in English. But it's emphatic. How narrow is the gate that leads to life? And so he's calling us. He's calling us to life. He's calling us to die to ourselves to get life. And it hurts. But that's life. That's where life is. What's it look like? It looks like our career does not drive our life. Our entertainment is not that important. It may mean that our family criticizes us, and we have to accept that. It may mean that we have to, it means we have to speak up for Jesus. It means we have to let go of money. It means sometimes we have to endure shame for his name and his sake. Now, I told you earlier, it's a hard saying. It's a hard saying in verse 13 when he is saying there are many who are walking on their own, the path to destruction. It's now a hard saying in verse 14 when he's saying there are few that walk the path to life because the path is hard. It's a hard path. He says, few people find it. Okay, hear that. Few people find life. That's what Jesus says. Few people. Why is that? Really, he just told you why. It's hard. That's why. We're to be different. America talks about being different. I told you that earlier. But it's really only the Christian who can be different from this world. Everybody else blends in with the world. The Christian should stand apart from this world. Austin says, keep Austin weird. You know the thing about Austin? Austin really fits American culture very well. It's not all that weird. Though that's their saying. It's the Christian who's weird, not Austin. We should say something more like, keep Christians weird. In a sort of a holy way. Being a Christian is sometimes lonely. You know, there are few people on this path. When you walk the path, you don't see a lot of people that are on the same path. No one, when you're at work, no one else really understands you. They're walking a different path than you're walking. And they don't really know that path. This is why we need the church. Because when in the church, we meet other people who are on the same path. It's essential. Separate yourself from the church, you will hurt your walk with God like that. Don't do that. You need God's people. It's why God gave us the church. It's one reason why. He gave us the church for other reasons too. But that's a big reason why. It helps us walk this path because it's a hard path. You need help. So far, I've been talking about this business of walking, you know, which path. Jesus gave the command, enter through the narrow gate. What he's saying is, walk a certain way. Walk for life, and it's going to be hard. That's what he's saying. And that's what I've been preaching so far. What I want to do now is look at this parable from a different perspective. See, I've been focusing on us. Jesus is telling us to walk this path, the hard path, the narrow gate. But I want you to think of the world now. Because Jesus did talk about a wide gate and an easy path that goes to destruction. And he says most people are walking that path right now. What that probably means is that most people you know right now are walking a path to hell. They're going to their own destruction. And these people, they are family, they are friends, they are co-workers, they are neighbors. Many of these people are people we love. And Jesus says most of them are on the wrong path. And they really don't know it. They have no idea. Now, if we really love these people, if we really genuinely love these people, but we never point them to Christ, to the path of life, we're not being very loving. We may love them, but we're not acting in love if we never point them to life. They're walking to their own destruction, and we're doing nothing to turn them from that. That's not love. I mean, you wouldn't, if somebody were going to walk off a cliff, you wouldn't, out of love, say, just be quiet and let them walk right off the cliff, would you? You would say, hey, don't go that way. You're walking off a cliff. You would do something to change where they're going Okay, Jesus says the spiritual world is just like that. And so here are all these people that we love walking off of a cliff, and they have no idea that they're doing it. And we see it. We need to tell them about it. In fact, if we don't, we're not really loving them. That can be hard. Because, you know what? They often don't want to hear it. But that's part of the path. See, part of the path we're on entails telling other people who are not on the path that they can have life. And that way is hard. That's part of the hardness of our path. Because of our love for Christ and our love for these people, we have to let them know in some way. We have to start praying and asking God, how do I share with, you know, my mom, or how do I share with my roommate, or how do I share with whoever it happens to be, and in your world, and start praying for opportunity for that, and start praying for wisdom and how best to do that. Pray for God's heart for these people. It's not an angry, you know, thing. We're pleading with God for them. And I'm going to close by having you do two things. This is your homework. It's two-step homework. First is, are you on the right path? Are you on the path to life? If not, then what Jesus says is you're on an easy path. And I think we need to repent of our desire for ease, for everything to be easy spiritually. If you are on the path to life, I want you to think about who you know who's not on the path, who's walking the easy way. And start praying for those people and for how to share with them the path of life. So that is your homework. So if you're not on the path, it's a sobering thing. You're going to have to commit to living an easy life to a difficult life. Jesus is going to call you to some hard things. If you are on the path, one of those hard things is begin to share with some of the people in your life that are not on the path. They're on the easy path. And ask God what that is, what you're to say, how you're to say it. Pray for their hearts. Start praying and so on. That's homework. Let me pray. Lord, we're sinners apart from Christ. We desire ease, but that's not what you call us to. Lord, I pray that you would be gracious to us, because without your grace, none of us would walk your path. And so we need the grace of Christ. Give us your heart. Give us a passion for Christ. Open our eyes to see the kingdom of God and to see the spiritual realities around us and how we're living our lives and who you want us to share with and how. And we pray you make us a people who care about walking with Christ above all things. That we would seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Lord, we need you. We can't do this without you. And so come. We give blessing to your name. You're so good. And Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.